ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सभणा सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराल् तेने ब्रह्महृद या आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरया तेजोवारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधन्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मम् प्रोजितकैलवोत्रपरमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवनम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् भरम् शुकमुखादमृतम् द्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतम् अपेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदया तरवोऽभिनेदु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्यासूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भराम् मुरारे मधुरिम् न कनिकापि कापि कापीम् नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिनीम् नमस्ते सरस्वति देवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्या देशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दम् व्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासम् हरिगतोद्गीतम् पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खकौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वादालयेशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि सो लास्ट् सन्डे वी वर् स्पीकिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् वि टाक्ड् अबौट् कुन्तीस् प्रेयर्स् टु कृष्ण and like later on Krishna's plans to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, and with that intention he took Pandavas and Yudhishthira to Bhishma. So when the Mahabharata battle was fought, on the 10th day Bhishma fell. That is how the Mahabharata says. It was on the 10th day that Bhishma Pitamaha fell in the battle. And from that day onwards, till he left this world, which was on the 58th day, he had to stay on the bed of arrows, or known as the Sharashaya. So while he was lying down there, and waiting for the arrival of Krishna to see him, Krishna has arranged this discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma Pitamaha. And Bhishma was waiting for the arrival of the Pandavas, and being prompted by Krishna from within, so many other devotees and all the great sages also were desiring to come to that spot where Bhishma Pitamaha was leaving his body. So in Bhishma's mind, so many thoughts were going through that so far Bhishma was a brahmachari. That was the first thing to notice there, that he had no desires in this world. Actually, he was free from all material desires, number one. Number two, he was also a personality who was capable of taking a body and giving up a body at any time at his own will. In other words, he was given this option, that swachanda mrityu. In other words, he could give up his body any time when he wanted. What does that mean, when somebody could give up his body at any time? From the yogic language, it means actually that one has gone beyond the laws of material nature. And this is a very, very significant thing. In other words, he has already got control on the laws of material nature. To such an extent, such a powerful personality was Bhishma Pitamaha, that Bhishma, in spite of had this capability, he decided that he will give up his body when Krishna comes to see him. This was Bhishma's determination. And in his own mind, he was thinking through this, that will not Krishna come to see me before I leave this world? So Devabrata, as he was known earlier times before he became Bhishma, and because of the determination of the strength and of the austerities and penances, what he has acquired as a brahmachari, he was given this title as Bhishma, one who has such a tremendous strength in determination in his will and his mind. So Bhishma was expecting Krishna to come, and Krishna arrived on that spot in that condition with Pandavas. And when the sages came to know, there is a list of the sages, we will see those names in the Bhishma Stuti mentioned there, that who are all the sages who were present there. Dhaumya, Vasishta, Angiras, Atri, Piparada, there's so many of them listed there. All these sages, they also came to know that Bhishma is leaving the body and Krishna is going to see Bhishma. So when the devotees came to know, they wanted to be there because they wanted to see what is going to happen, the discussion between Bhishma and Krishna. This is what they were interested in. The devotees were interested in that. The demigods wanted to know because it is unusual for Krishna to go and see somebody when they are leaving. Normally, everybody in this world, most of the devotees of Krishna, they request Krishna for his vision at the time of leaving the body. That is usual. And Krishna accepts that also, that desire of a devotee, when devotee has a desire like that. But majority of the deaths in this world doesn't happen like that. Majority of the deaths happens in a hospital or on the roadside. So anyway, Bhishma Pitamaha's desire was that Krishna should come and see him before he left this world. The sages wanted to know how Krishna will talk to Bhishma at the time of departure from this world, and what words of wisdom will come from Bhishma. You have to remember that Bhishma was actually the source of power behind the whole of this Kauravas, and he maintained that kingdom purely as a duty, a responsibility, he did that. So Bhishma was welcoming Krishna. Krishna arrived on the scene, and as it was mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam before, that Krishna's plans were different, completely unknown to everybody. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi could not understand what was the plan of Krishna. That is what is mentioned there. It says there that those people who did not understand what Krishna's plan was, neither even Vedavyasa Maharshi could not understand what the Krishna's plan was of bringing Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma. But it came out later. Vyasadyai Ishware Rajyai Krishner Albhuda Karmanaha Prabodhi Devi. That Adbhuda Karma, the wonderful activity of Krishna, which is difficult to understand for ordinary people. Vyasadyai Ishware Rajyai Krishner Albhuda Karmanaha. Albhuda Karma, that is what Krishna performs there. Why? Why is it an Albhuda Karma? It may surprise everybody. Why? What is that Albhuda Karma Krishna has performed? It's only a few days back that Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into this total depression of thinking about the war, that Krishna spoke to him exactly like he spoke to Arjuna, the whole Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And not only he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he gave more examples also to convince Yudhishthira about the question he had, that I have performed adharma. This was in his mind all the time. I have acted in a very irreligious way. That is what Yudhishthira Maharaj told Krishna. And he blamed Krishna for everything what has happened during the war. So Krishna wanted to make it clear to Yudhishthira Maharaj that actually you have not performed anything wrong. What you have done is actually dharma, religious principle. As kshatriyas, it's the duty of the kshatriyas to maintain the dharma in this world. And especially when instructed by Krishna, it is dharma. There is no question of adharma involved. So this was the point Krishna wanted to drive across to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when he said this to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira was not convinced. Yudhishthira still questioned Krishna's logic in this. And Yudhishthira feared himself that he will go to the hellish planet. This was in his mind. So what is so wonderful about this is that when his brother Arjuna, when in the battlefield Arjuna became confused and got into trouble, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and he was clear in his mind, he decided to act. But when it came to Yudhishthira Maharaj, the same problem what Arjuna had in Yudhishthira's mind also, when Krishna has spoken, nothing has happened. So the two brothers both have got the same illness and the same medicine was offered to both of them, but it worked on one patient, the other patient didn't succeed in that. This is why it is mentioned there, Vyasadye Ishwari Rajye Krishnair Albhudakarmana. Albhudakarma, that Krishna has performed is an Albhudakarma, that nobody could understand. That the same medicine when given to two patients, on one patient it worked, on the other patient it didn't work. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna's plan was that Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody should go and see Bhishma. And before leaving this world, he wanted to give his darshan to Bhishma before he left this planet. So they arrived there, and initially Bhishma Pitamaha welcomed everybody. And after welcoming them, he welcomed everyone by glancing at them. That is how it's mentioned there. He was just glancing at them, and everybody accepted that Bhishma Pitamaha is actually acknowledging their arrival at the spot. Because lying on the bed of arrows for so many days, he has not eaten. That is also another thing. He has not slept. So you can see, he was a yogi who has transcended beyond the loss of material nature. And in that state of mind and that state of consciousness, he saw the arrival of the Pandavas, all the great sages and the Supreme Lord Krishna there. So when he saw them, Krishna said to Bhishma Pitamaha that Yudhishthira has a lot of questions before you leave this world. If you would kindly answer those questions, that will be very nice. And it was then that Yudhishthira Maharaj put forward so many questions to Bhishma Pitamaha. And for many, many days it was spoken that that Yudhishthira was given instructions by Bhishma Pitamaha on dharma, on religious principles. And at the end, Bhishma Pitamaha told Yudhishthira that you must understand, he said, that when you have acted in this world purely as a kshatriya, it was only your duty what you have performed. It was nothing that you have done outside of the law. It was actually what you performed is purely in line with the religious principles. So when this was told to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira Maharaj was initially, although not convinced, but Bhishma Pitamaha took them back to a little while to the time before, that this war of Mahabharata did not happen overnight. It was not something that Krishna came in and prompted straight away. No, it didn't happen like that. Actually, Arjuna was preparing for the war long time ago. Because if you remember Mahabharata, you can see Arjuna went and to the Kailas and he worshipped Lord Shiva so strongly and he took Pashupatam from him, Astram, the Pashupata Astra, for fighting this war. He was preparing for that. He went to Indra and to so many other demigods and collected many, many sacred weapons from them. And this has all made Arjuna very, very powerful. In addition to that, Bhimasena has been practicing with the club for so many years and to prepare himself to fight with Duryodhana. And so is Yudhishthira and Nakula and Sahadeva as well. So all the brothers were preparing for this, knowing very well that they could not expect any justice from Duryodhana. So when they were preparing like this, Bhishma Pitamaha told Yudhishthira then you have prepared for this war from the very beginning. And why did you do that? Because you knew very well that in your mind that Duryodhana was not acting properly. Or in other words, Duryodhana was trying to exclude you from your kingdom which you had rightly inherited from Pandu. So that was there. So that is why they were preparing for the war. But when Krishna came into the picture, Yudhishthira Maharaj, being such a soft-hearted person, wanted Krishna to free themselves from this fight. So he eventually told Krishna that rather than having all this this killing of people in the war and acquiring the sinful reactions, I will be satisfied if we get a house for all of us to live together, Kunti Devi and the Pandavas together. But Krishna had different plan. It was neither Yudhishthira knew nor Duryodhana knew about it. Krishna's plan was that certain things have to happen in this world. And Krishna's plan was that Duryodhana must be killed in the war along with the other so many Kauravas. So, and after this was spoken, Bhishma Pitamaha explained to Yudhishthira Maharaj that if Kshatriyas do not perform their activity, they will go to hell. This is how he put it to them. So when he heard from Bhishma Pitamaha, whose authority he trusted, or whose authority he was willing to accept, he had got the peace of mind. And then after that he did not question that again. And then so many other instructions were given. And at the end of that, when all these instructions were over, Bhishma Pitamaha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj if you had any further questions. Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhishma Pitamaha, "My dear Pitamaha, I have no more questions to ask you." But if that is the case, Bhishma Pitamaha turned to Krishna. "Let me talk a few words to the Supreme Lord who is standing here, and let me talk to him and my realizations to him." So it is then that the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the famous Bhishma Stuti. But Bhishma, before he started glorifying that, he warned the Pandavas that you have accepted Krishna. You have accepted Krishna, although he is the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he still has worked with you as your friend, as your charioteer and as your emissary. They took a message from you to go to see Dhritarashtra. So all these things he has done. But if a person, while at the time of leaving the body, if he is able to remember and chant the holy name of Krishna, then he will be protected even from his parabdha karma. That is what that Bhishma Pitamaha had told him. Bhakta veshyamano yasmin vajayam namagirtayan tejan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bhi. That kama karma, or the desire to act in this material world, and the result of all this material desires is those activities which binds us to this material world, and the resultant reactions of those activities. This is what every living entity is experiencing in this world. But Bhishma Pitamaha said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, "Bhakta veshyamano yasmin vajayam namakirtayan tejan kalevaram yogi uchyate kama karma bhi." That kama karma, that is how much bondage it has created. One can free oneself from that if one takes to the holy name of Krishna. This is how Bhishma Pitamaha mentioned to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratiksharam. Then he addressed Krishna like this: "Please stand in front of me so that I can see you." Krishna didn't stand at the head, near the head. Rather, Krishna stood at the feet of Bhishma Pitamaha so that Bhishma could have a clear vision of Krishna. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratiksharam tejevaram yavadidam hinomyaham. That Bhishma was expressing his desire to Krishna. Hinomyaham prasanna hasaruna lojano lasal dhyanabada chadurbhujaha. That he wanted to see that 400 form of Krishna, which Krishna exhibited to Bhishma Pitamaha at that time. Because as a yogi, he has meditated on Krishna's 400 form before, and Bhishma Pitamaha in that condition wanted to see Krishna. And it is then that Bhishma's glorification begins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Iti madiruvakalpita vidrishnam bhagavati sattva pungave vibhumni susukam upagade kuchit dihartam prakritim upeyashi kalpayal pravaha. That originally Bhishma Pitamaha said, "Iti madiruva kalpita vidrishnam." He says to Krishna that, "Look at me, my mind, my intelligence at this moment, I can see that intelligence which is free from all material desires." That is that word vitrishna. Iti madiruva kalpita vidrishna. That Trishna means desire. Vidrishna means without desire. My intelligence has come to that conscious state of consciousness now, that I have no more material desires. How many of us can say to Krishna, that I have no more desires. How many of us in this world can say to Krishna that I have no more desire? Actually, the situation is that we ourselves do not know what all our desires are. This is the first thing. What all desires we have at the moment, we do not know. Nor do we know what more desires are going to come in the future. This is our condition in this world. So that word Vedavyasa Maharshi has used there, iti madhiruva kalpida vidrishna bhagavati sattvada pungave vibhumni. That vidrishna, that mind which is completely freed from all material desires, I offer my obeisances to you. This is how Vishwamitra began his glorification of Krishna. So sukhamubhagade kuchidduhartam prakritimubeyushi kalpayal pravaham. Then Vishwamitra was saying to Krishna that you are that person who is beyond the three modes of nature. Even the material nature is under your control. Material nature is under your control. And if you are able to, you are the person who is transcendental to all the modes of nature. So when Bhishma started speaking like this, Krishna sensed that probably Bhishma is going to talk some philosophy now to me. So Krishna didn't want to hear any philosophy at that point. What Krishna wanted to hear from the devotee Bhishma was, what has actually affected Bhishma in his life in relationship with Krishna? What relationship with Krishna he had? And that whole relationship developed completely in the Mahabharata war. It is in the war that all the transcendental exchanges happen between Krishna and Bhishma Pitamaha. And that is what this whole of Mahabharata is saying. If you read the Bhishma Parvam, you will see there that Bhishma Pitamaha and Krishna, that transcendental relationship, transcendental exchanges, this is what Krishna wanted to hear. Krishna didn't want to hear all the Brahman or Maya or Jiva or material nature, all these things. Krishna was not interested. Krishna wanted to hear from Bhishma that what do you experience in relationship with me in your life? And then that is why immediately Bhishma Pitamaha switched off from this philosophy into Mahabharata war. That is what we find in the Bhishma Stuti. Bhishma's glorification you will find there. Iti madhiruva kalpida vidrishna bhagavati sattvada pungave vibhumni susukam upagade kuchidduhartam prakritimubeyushi kalpayal pravaham. That at that point when Krishna has shown that this is what he wants to hear, he immediately started saying about Krishna himself, Tripuvana Kamanam Tamalavarnam Devikara Gauravaram Bharam Dadhani Vaburalaga Kunamalabdabji Vijaya Sakhe Radirastumena Vadhyam. That Vishnu Vidamaha was remembering the war. In the war scene, Krishna was there driving Arjuna's chariot. So when he was driving the chariot, the dust has come and it has completely covered Krishna's body. And Krishna was sweating as well. And Krishna's black curl, black hair was falling all over his eyes. At that time, Krishna's beauty was something beyond description. That the beautiful Krishna's form, what we worship in the temple, is not seen there. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam ravikara gauravaram padam ambaram dadhani vapuralaga kulavradananam jam vijaya sakhe radhirastvamena vadhyaha. That at that point, Bhishma Pitamaha decided to address Krishna as Vijaya Sakhe. Vijaya Sakhe means the friend of Vijaya. Now, why he called Vijaya at that point, that is also, there is a specific reason behind it. Bhishma Pitamaha knew Arjuna as a little boy. As far as Bhishma is concerned, Arjuna is not such an important person. Although we consider Arjuna as a great devotee, and also Arjuna as one of the, is a Madhyama Pandava, is the middle one of the five Pandavas. So, Tripuvana Kamanam Tamalavarnam Ravikara Gauravaram Varam Dadhani Vaburalaga Kulavrudana Nabjam Vijaya Sakhe Yatirastumena Vadhyaha. That at that point, Krishna's beauty was such that this whole sweat and the and the dust on his body, and his face is also gone reddish, and this face, the hair has fallen down, and Krishna was very serious helping his dear devotee Arjuna. Then what happened? Yudhi Turaga Viruja Vishwa Vimma Kajalilita Shamava Jalangradasi Mama Nishida Sharir Vibhidyamanam Tuji Vilasal Kavajestu Krishna Atmam. And when I got a chance to fight with Krishna and Arjuna, I shot such arrows on them that immediately Krishna's armor was completely broken. All the broken. And not only that, Bhishma fired such arrows, blood was coming out from Krishna's body. And this is what the war scene was. The scene was like that. And when all these things happen, just before that, Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to remember something, what happened in that battlefield. Just before the battle happened, Arjuna asked Krishna, Senayor Bhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapayam Achyuta. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will find in the first chapter, Arjuna is asking Krishna, can you take the chariot to the middle of the fighting army? And a request from Arjuna was, please introduce everyone to me who are fighting on the other side, ready to fight with us. This is actually an official thing, Aupacharikam. It's an official system that before we start the war, they wanted to introduce, so-and-so is standing there, so-and-so is there, they're all on the other side, and we are going to face these people. So this was the type of battle they fought in those days. It is not that you go and kill everybody in the whole country and come back and saying that I won the war. This is not war, this is actually madness. But that war, which was fought on religious principles, had completely different understanding. That Krishna was, they had a system. Even during fighting the war, they followed certain ethics. That is the respect they had for dharma. Today there is no dharma, so there is nothing to respect either. So anyway, iti tvaraga vidu uja vidu kshavamma kvacharilada shramavar yalangradasya mama nishita sharir vibhidyamanam kvajivilasal kavajestu krishna alpam. That at that point he was trying to say to Vishnu Pitamaha was saying to Krishna that what I have observed at that point is something which I will never forget in my life. It is not going to be forgotten any time. Krishna wanted to know what that was. And Krishna knew what Bhishma was going to say. It was very well clear in his mind what Bhishma was going to speak. By that time, when Krishna asked this, when Krishna expressed this desire to know what was Bhishma going to say, Bhishma smiled at Krishna. After so many days of fasting, Bhishma hasn't lost even a little amount of energy from him. He was still in his full youth and ready to tell Krishna what he thought about the war. It was then he spoke. Sapati sakivajo nishamya madhi nijabarayor belayoratham niveshya sthitavadi parasainikayureshna akhradavadi partha sakhe redurmamastum. Krishna, Bhishma said to Krishna, look at this, he said. Sapati sakivajo nishamya madhi, you brought the chariot in front in the war to help Arjuna, and he started introducing every one of us to him, to Arjuna. And how did you introduce? That is the most interesting thing. Sapati sakhi vajo nishamya madhi nijaparayo balayo ratham niveshya sthitavadi parasainikayu reshnahadavadi partha sakhe redurmamastum. Krishna was holding the rein, and in the right hand he had the whip. Arjuna was sitting on the chariot. And he started, Krishna with the left eye, point out to everybody who was standing on the opposite side. He will say to Arjuna, Arjuna, can you see that person who is standing on the extreme end, that is Bhishma. With the left eye, he look at Bhishma, and in the right eye, he will pass on everything to Arjuna. The person whom Arjuna had to fight, for example, Sthidavadi, Parasainik, Ayureshna, Hridavadi, eye is his lifespan. Krishna has taken with this left eye, his lifespan. His health, everything what he had, Krishna has stolen with the left eye. Not only that, Krishna also, Bhishma says that, Ayureshna Hridavadi Partha Sakhe Radhiram Namastu. Not only he took my lifespan, not only he took my health, he also took the power of austerities and penances I have performed. Bhishma had so much austerities and penances behind him, and there was so much strength in him. Bhishma says there that you took away everything from me with this eye and handed over with this eye to Arjuna. This is what Arjuna is, he said. And not only he did that to me, he did that to Dronacharya, to everyone, Ashwatthama, Duryodhana, Karna, whoever was there, all the great personalities there, every single one of them, their lifespan, their strength, their power of austerities and penances, everything was taken with one eye and handed over to Arjuna at that point. Arjuna fought the war, no doubt about it, he said. I know that Arjuna has fought the war. All Arjuna was doing was shooting the arrows and was going and killing the other side. But otherwise, I knew what would have happened to this Arjuna, he said. Bhishma said to Krishna, Sapati sakivajo nishamya madhi nijabarayo balayo ratham niveshya sthidavadi parasainikayu reshnakadavadi partha sakhe redurmamastum. That every address in Bhishma Suri is so great that he is referring to Partha Sakhe Redurmamastum. That Krishna was addressed as Partha. Why? Because it is then that the power of Kunti Devi comes in. Krishna, Arjuna on his own is nothing. That's what Bhishma says. What's Arjuna, he said? Because he is the son of Kunti Devi, and because Kunti Devi is so dear to you, that is why you decided to do this to Arjuna. Are you not? He asked this question to Krishna. Krishna had no answer to give at that point. Sthiravadi parasa inigayu reshna akhravadi patasakhe redirmamastum sunigamam avahayam alpraditnyam mradamadigartum avaplodhoradastam dhritaradi charanabhiya chalal gur haririva handumibham gadottariyam. That at that point what happened? Sunigamam avahayam alpraditnyam. That when the war was going on, Krishna was taking Arjuna in the chariot back and forth in the battlefield. So before the war began, between Bhishma and Krishna, there was an agreement. The agreement was that Krishna took a vow that at any cost I will not take any weapon to fight, because that was the commitment, word he has given, word of honor to the Kauravas. And to the Pandavas he said that under no circumstances I will take a weapon to fight. And on the other hand, Bhishma has also taken a vow that I will force Krishna to fight, I will force him to take a weapon. So this agreement between, so this was, both of them were opposing, and Bhishma Pitamaha was determined to force Krishna to take a weapon. So during the battle, Krishna was driving the chariot, Arjuna's chariot, back and forth. So every time, in the left hand he had his reins, and in the right hand he had the whip. So when he gets in front of Bhishma, he will move the whip very strongly in the air, and to show to Bhishma that I have not taken any weapon yet. And when Bhishma sees that, he will smile, seeing Krishna's determination not to take any weapon. And Krishna will also smile, seeing that, let me see if you are capable of forcing me to that situation. So both of them will smile at each other, even while fighting that war. So this was the relationship between Bhishma and Krishna. So Krishna was going back and forth in the battlefield. He was so busy with Arjuna. And at the end, when so nigamavahayam alpraditnyam mridam adigartum avapladoradastha mridaradi charanabhaya chalalgur haririvahandumibham gadottariyam. That at that point, one day, it so happened that during the war, that Bhishma Pitamaha has actually shot so many arrows from Krishna that actually blood was coming from Krishna's body. And Krishna didn't care. Krishna was not bothered. He was willing to go along with it. But later on, when Bhishma Pitamaha turned these arrows towards Arjuna, Arjuna could not handle it. And Arjuna was finding it so difficult to fight with Bhishma that Bhishma broke his whole armor, and not only broke his armor, blood started coming from all over his body. At that point, Krishna could not stop it anymore. Krishna could not bear it anymore. It was then that Krishna decided that I have tolerated so much. He saw, pulled the chariot and stopped it there, got out of the chariot, took the disc and said, let me finish this old man's life first. And this is how he got himself ready to go. Imagine that scene. Bhishma was getting out of the chariot and Krishna was getting out of the chariot with the disc in the hand, running towards Bhishma. And Bhishma was waiting for Krishna to come. And Bhishma was feeling extremely blissful. Why? Because he had won the battle, because he has won actually, that I have won, and that Krishna promised before that he will not take the weapon. Now he has kept the Sudarshan and he was running. Krishna was saying to Arjuna that this is too much, I can't bear this, I'm going to finish this old man now. And he moved towards Bhishma. So when Krishna was moving towards Bhishma, in that process while he was running, his uttariyam, or the second cloth, they put on the body, that fell off from Krishna's body. So when Arjuna saw that, Arjuna went and picked up that cloth, the uttariyam, and started running towards Krishna. He went up to Krishna and started holding Krishna. Krishna threw him away from there. He went meters further away from there and fell off. Krishna was thrown out in the power of Krishna. Arjuna was thrown away from there altogether. Again, Arjuna is running after Krishna to somehow pull him back. What will the people say if you have taken the weapon? Look, everybody else is watching. Like this, Arjuna was in a helpless state trying to control Krishna. Hari riva handum ibham gadottariya. That imagine that Arjuna's mood, trying to pull Krishna back from his determination. So when Krishna went to kill Bhishma at that time, Bhishma Pitamaha left all his weapons there and he said, Vasudeva Jaya Jaya, that he glorified Krishna, that you have won. It is what Bhishma said to Krishna. Why did Bhishma say like that? That you have won in your, actually you who have won, not me. Although, in theoretically speaking, actually Bhishma has won. But in reality, Bhishma says here, it is actually Krishna has won. Vasudeva Jaya Jaya. He said to Vasudeva, Krishna, you have actually won in this argument. What is the Vasudeva's success, or what is Krishna's? How come Krishna has won this? Krishna has won this from this point of view, that Krishna says in so many instances that sometimes my words may not come true. It will not happen to be true. It can change. Because I am not affected by what I say and what I don't do. But for a devotee like Bhishma, who is a personally great devotee of Krishna, his words will always remain true. So the intention of Krishna doing this was actually that he wanted to make sure that Bhishma's words have come true. He wanted to hold that words true, Bhishma's words is true, and for that reason you have taken the weapon, just to keep my words true. Just see how much respect they had for their words in those days. And today we see what respect we have got for our words. You can compare. Today's politicians say one thing, he acts exactly opposite to that the very next moment. And this is the quality of the people what we have today. So anyway, this is the Vedic culture, that these personalities, Bhishma and others, they upheld their values so high, their respect for the dharma and the words were so strong that you could never imagine in a life that they were so valuable for them. And because they accepted their words, so powerful words they were, and they, whatever they spoke truthfully, that anyway, so nigama vahaya mal pradijna mudama digartu mava plaghora dasta dadegadikarana chalal dayam charadam muntariyam. Prasavam abhisasaram advanatam sabhavan bhagamyan gadir mukundam. That at that time when Krishna came to Bhishma, Bhishma says, the way I saw Krishna at that point was just exactly like a lion coming to jump on into the front of an elephant to beat him. So this is how Bhishma Pitamaha felt Krishna's arrival in front with the disc. At that point, Krishna decided to return, not able to continue further. He decided to come back to the chariot on Arjuna's request. So while coming back, Arjuna put the Uttariyam on Krishna. And while coming back, Krishna was holding the disc in his hand. And while looking back, he looked towards Bhishma while coming back from there. Is that not true that I have kept your word now correctly? Am I not? That was the Krishna's mood at that point while looking towards Bhishma. So anyway, when Krishna came back and sat in the chariot and continued the battle later, then afterwards Bhishma Pitamaha mentioned all these different scenes in the battle, what happened. Also, Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to mention one or two things. In that battlefield, I saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He said, while speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and during the battle time also, I have noticed that. And there are other two or three occasions, I also noticed Krishna in the same condition. And he started reciting those situations. Ledidagati vilasa valguhasa pranayaneekshana kalpidorumane kradamanukradavatyamunmadanda prakritimagan hilayasya gopavadvaha. That in the rasa dance in Vrindavan, when Krishna arrived on the scene with the gopis, and when the rasa dance was going to begin, at that time Krishna exhibited his Supreme Lord's potency, at that time for everyone to see. And the complete yogic power, what Krishna exhibited at that point, was also one of the Supreme Lord's position. Lalitagati vilasa valguhasa pranaya nirikshana kalpidorumane kradamanukradavatyamunmadanda prakritimagan kilayasya gopavadvaham. Then, on another occasion, he said, Muniganandrabhavadya sangulandi sadasildhishthira rajasuyamesham arhanamuvapedamikshaniyam vadushitaja gosha esha aviralpam. That another occasion, Bhishma Pitamaha said, was in the Rajasuya sacrifice. In the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Krishna was there, and the Agrasana Puja means he was accepted as the chief guest in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Kunti Devi and all the other Pandavas, with all their will, they served Krishna and they surrendered to Krishna and accepted Krishna's shelter. And in that sacrifice also, Krishna exhibited his potency as the Supreme Lord when Shishupala was killed. So these two, three incidents in Bhishma Pitamaha's life, he quoted at that point to Krishna. And now saying this, Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to give up his body. So at that time he started looking at Krishna, and at the time when he was looking at Krishna, his words were, please don't forget me. That was his words to Krishna. that you should always remember me. He said to Krishna like this. Krishna was actually shedding tears when seeing that Bhishma's departure. Because a devotee's departure from this world is more painful to Krishna than for the ordinary people. Because Krishna's feelings for the devotee, whether he is here or in the spiritual world, it is still, Krishna considers that as Krishna has sent the devotees to this world to do their duty, what they are supposed to do. And when they go back also, Krishna feels pleased with them. But when Krishna saw that Bhishma Pitama was quitting his body at that time, that Krishna was actually looking at Bhishma Pitama very intensely. And Bhishma Pitama on the other side looked at Krishna also in the same way. That is what it is mentioned. And before Bhishma Pitama gave up his body, that completely identifying his identity with Krishna as the Supreme Lord, as the devotee, Bhishma Pitama had his last breath. So this is the Bhishma's way of giving up the body. Bhishma gave up his body at that time, and while Bhishma was quitting the body, he focused his mind, and he didn't close his eyes, he kept his eyes fully open, looking at Krishna, and he was able to glorify Krishna in a very nice way, in such a nice way, very well known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhishma Stuti. So Bhishma prayed this, and Bhishma quit. So when Bhishma left this world, all the Pandavas felt very distressed. Pandavas felt very distressed because Bhishma Pitama was always a strength for them. That and Pandavas felt very distressed. Krishna felt very happy because at least now Yudhishthira Maharaj's depression has gone. At least he was now clear in his mind that what he has done was not a wrong thing. The war was the right thing to do. So with a distressed mind the Pandavas, with a happy mind Krishna, they all went back to their own palaces. Along with that, when Krishna and the Pandavas have gone back, all the sages were also leaving the place. The sages were also leaving after this incident. So when they were going back, when the sages were going back, they were talking to each other about Bhishma Pitamaha's quitting the body. How did they talk about it? This is also very important to know, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi is trying to tell us a lot of things through all these different incidences. What he is trying to tell us is that when the sages were leaving, what was the conversation between the sages? The sages were talking to each other like this. Just like when we go for a festival, we also talk about it. When we come back from the festival, those who are interested in prasadam, they will say, "Oh, the feast was very good." Will they not? They also talk like that, isn't it? "Oh, I had these sabjis and sweet rice and halwa and puris and this. So many nice things I had. It was really not bad. I don't know who has cooked." We will even discuss about the cook at that point. To such an extent. Because these are people who are mad after prasadam. Such people, they will discuss this. Somebody else who is interested in kirtana or things related to something like that, kirtana or drama, they will discuss about those things. That is natural. It's a human nature. That we all do that. That those who are interested in kirtana will say, "Oh, I enjoyed that kirtana very well. It was very nice. I enjoyed that." Or somebody will talk about something else. So everyone has their own mental proclivities or mentality in which they will enjoy subtly all these things. So anyway, the sages also, by their nature, they are thoughtful people. They are not like us, who talk about prasadam and who talk about eating and sleeping. That's not their concern, mainly. But sages talked something which was much more important and with much more gravity. They talked about it. They told each other that if we have to leave this world, this is how we should leave this world. This is what the sages talked to each other. Tatastha Krishna Hridaya Swashramau Prayaya Upuman. That if we have to leave this world, that this is how we should leave this world. This is what the sages spoke to each other. Look at Bhishma Pitama. He was at the time of leaving this world. Krishna has come to see him. Krishna was there to see him. And not only Krishna has come to see him, automatically he got the opportunity to remember all the mercy what Krishna has shown to Bhishma. So Bhishma was able to remember everything what Krishna has done to him in this lifetime. One. Number two, so many devotees standing around him and glorifying Krishna and seeing Krishna in front, right in front, and glorifying him. another thing. In addition to all that, he was able to leave the body while looking at Krishna in that way. That was his good fortune. So, how can this happen? This is what they were talking to each other. One sages were telling the other, how is this possible? How can this happen? So, tadastam Krishna hridaya swashrama uprayaya upaman. Krishna hridaya, in other words, that if somebody wants to leave this world, he should say to Krishna, this is how I want to leave. And he should tell this to only to Krishna, not even to Lord Ramchandra or to any other form, the Lord Narayan or anybody, to Krishna. That is why that word Vedavyasa Maharshi has specifically used in the Bhagavatam. Tadasta Krishna Hridaya Swashrama Uprayaya Upaman. Krishna Hridaya, Krishna was in their heart, and that is what was important. That if if somebody wants to leave this world, at the time of leaving the world, we don't know what will happen. How things are going to happen, nobody knows about it. What is the end of every one of us? That we have, if you think about it, that this is a lesson. Vedavyasa Maharshi, through this one particular line, he kept a very, very, very great message to this world. Because it was a sage's conversation. Tadasta Krishna Hridaya Swashrama Uprayaya Upaman. That they were full of Krishna consciousness or thoughts of Krishna in their heart. That is how they went back from that place. Now, if we look about this carefully, you can analyze it in a nice way and understand the significance of this statement. Somehow or the other, we have all come to this world, we have got a body and we have lived in this world for so many years, gone through a lot of distress, and we are here at this stage now. And one day, whether we like it or not, we have to leave. And while leaving this world, we have very limited freedom to decide when to leave. That is the reality. Reality is like that. We don't have any freedom to decide when to die. Nor do we have any freedom to decide where to die. In condition, suppose I have organized my death very nicely in such a way, I will die on such and such a day, when wife and children, they are all along with me at the same time, in the summer time when it's not raining and everything is so that it is convenient for the children to take my dead body to the mortuary, so that they should not fall into difficulty. If I think all that and arrange my death like that, it's not going to happen like that. Maybe you could end up in some general hospital, in some intensive care unit, or you could in a plane crash or in a car crash or whatever it is. It could be something else that can happen. So you can't plan that also. So you have no freedom to decide when to die. You have no freedom to decide how to die. You have no freedom to decide where to die. So none of these things we have freedom. We are completely under the clutches of material nature. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages are saying, but you have got one freedom. What is that freedom? That freedom is that you can pray to Krishna today, when you have that health and the mind in control, that this is how I like to leave this world. And you can say that to Krishna openly. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that, tadasta Krishna hridaya swashrama uprayaya upaman. That one day we have to leave anyway. That is unavoidable. That is the inevitable nature of this material world. So before you leave, that this is how I want to leave this world. When, what is that best way to leave this world? When you have, at the time when the body is sinking, one day that will happen sooner or later. We have seen all the time this is happening. That when the death comes, that slowly the sinking feeling comes. That one after the other, the senses and the body and the different elements are not functioning anymore. So at that time, you haven't got the strength even to chant the holy name of Krishna. And you do not know what thoughts are going to come through the mind at that time and disturb your mind. Nobody knows about it. And sometimes, if you are unfortunate, some of the people who are going to help you at that point may not be very favorable in Krishna consciousness. So it is in that condition you may have to face the death. So at that time, if you think that I can approach Krishna freely and request at that time to help, that may not happen. So that is why the sages are saying, tadasta Krishna hridaya swashrama uprayaya upaman. Right now, when the body is in good shape, when the mind is in good shape, you can pray to Krishna that this is how I would like to leave this world. That that he was saying there at that time that Krishna was, the sages were saying that if you say to Krishna at that point, if you say to Krishna at this point that you can pray to him, that when I leave this body, perhaps at the time when you eventually leave, at that moment, if you are fortunate enough, there may be some devotee to read Srimad Bhagavatam for you. And because although you can't read yourself, you don't have the strength to read, still if somebody is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you are used to reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all that thoughts of Krishna, and you are able to go along with what that person was reading, that thoughts will also come strongly in the mind. So that is the thing, what the sages were referring to. So in addition to that, that Krishna has one very special nature, that Krishna has, although you have called for him throughout your life, it may be that Krishna has not presented himself in front of you, or in front of me, or in front of anybody for that matter. But Krishna knows one thing, that Krishna knows when the devotee needs him, the correct situation, when exactly he needs him. Krishna knows that in this material life he has come with his prarabdha karma, and he will go through his happiness and distress anyway. Krishna doesn't want to get involved with that to that extent. Although as a devotee, Krishna will protect him from all danger. But Krishna knows one thing, that the time of leaving the body is a very critical point for a devotee. Not only for a devotee, for everybody. But in a devotee's case, that is much more important than anything else. Because all along his life, he has been depending on Krishna. That is a real dependent, Sharanagati as it's called. That the devotee has spent all his energy to depend on Krishna. And it is this dependence on Krishna that has kept him alive in this world. Nothing else. So that devotee who had such a strong attraction to Krishna, when he leaves the world, would he not like to see Krishna before he leaves this world? This question automatically arises. That a devotee who has served Krishna wholeheartedly, before he leaves this world, he would like to see Krishna, because that critical point, critical juncture in his life, when he has to quit this body and move on to the next phase in his existence, he automatically would like that assurance from Krishna. And that is the special feature of Krishna. Although Krishna may not have shown any open relationship with the devotee, at the time of death, when he wants to leave, when he wants to leave this body, the devotee is saying to Krishna that, don't forget me. This is the point when I need you more than any other time. Till now it is alright. I haven't had the opportunity to see you. But right at this point, that it is your presence is very much needed, because the devotee knows that his the movement of his body, leaving this body, is going to be a very critical point for him. So that is why it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, through this one line, Tadastam Krishna Hridaya Swashramau Prayayau Puman, that sages were going home and they were talking to each other like this. Vedavyasa Maharshi thought it is the right thing to do, to put this message in the Srimad Bhagavatam through Bhishma Stuti. Let the people who have the brain, this is not meant for everybody, this instruction. This is meant for the devotees. This is not meant for those who are exploiting their senses to the maximum and trying to enjoy this material world. For them, what does it matter? Whether living or dying, it doesn't matter anything. That's the life of the cats and dogs. There's not much difference. But this message is meant for thoughtful people. People who can think. People who can think about life and at the end of life, what is going to happen. So those who are concerned about it, for them, Vedavyasa Maharshi put this message in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadastha Krishna Hridaya Swashramau Prayayau Puman. That these great sages, they were able to discuss this, that at the time of leaving this body, devotees chanting all the time the holy name of Krishna. Although one personally cannot chant, other devotees were chanting for his sake. And somebody is reading Srimad Bhagavatam for the devotee who is leaving the body. In addition to that, Krishna comes in at that point to see the devotee. So when he is going through this, although the mind and senses are constantly sinking, Krishna comes and puts his hand on the devotee's chest and say to him that, did you think that I will not turn up? This is what Krishna's question to the devotee. So these things have happened, and many, many great devotees have acknowledged that Krishna at the time of departure has come to him and protected them from that fear of death. Because ultimately the fear of death is there in everyone. Nobody can themselves free from that. So this is how it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After that, when Krishna has decided to come back with Pandavas to the palace, and in the palace, Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to, Yudhishthira Maharaj was happy, satisfied everything after the discussion with Bhishma Pitamaha. seeing that Yudhishthira Maharaj was Ajatashatru, as he is known, one who has no enemies, he has taken over the throne. At that time, Bhishma Pitamaha and Krishna was decided to go back to Dwaraka. So when he decided to go back to Dwaraka, at that time, that Pandavas were very pleased. Kunti Devi was happy that Yudhishthira was more or less in a happy state of mind. And Krishna said to Pandavas and Kunti Devi that I must go now, because most of the purpose of my staying is over, and it's a long time since I came back from Dwaraka. It's time for me now to go back to Dwaraka. So Krishna was preparing himself, and he left Indraprastham, and he was on his way back to Dwaraka. So after Krishna left Indraprastham and he started traveling on his journey back to Dwaraka, after a while, something very funny thing happened with Maharaj Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira Maharaj, all this time, was thinking that everything has come out very nicely. I'm clear in my head now that although this millions and millions of people have died in this war, you have to remember, suppose one of us were responsible for that, how much we will feel about it. And Yudhishthira Maharaj had to cope with that, that he felt the responsibility of killing so many people. And that is what was worrying him. But at this point in time, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt peaceful, and Krishna, having succeeded in bringing Yudhishthira back to his happy state of mind, he has gone away. But when Krishna left, after some time, Yudhishthira Maharaj started thinking that he called Bhimasena. And he asked Bhimasena, how much army is left behind, he said, after the war. So most of them have been killed and there's very few left. So Bhimasena could not understand. Why is this inquiring about the army now? Krishna is gone and there is no sign of any war or anything anywhere happening. So why is Yudhishthira Maharaj inquiring about the war? So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhimasena, what is left behind now? So Bhimasena said, we have so much chariots and we have so many soldiers left. Okay, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhimasena, they should all get ready and go straight away. They should accompany Krishna back to Dwaraka. Suppose something happens to Krishna on the way. This is what Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhimasena. If anything happens to Krishna on the way back to Dwaraka, it will be bad for me, because I am the king and it is my duty to protect Krishna. This is what Yudhishthira Maharaj thought. When Yudhishthira Maharaj said this, even Bhimasena could not control his laughter. He started smiling. He said, because Krishna was there, we are all alive here today. And now you want us to go and protect Krishna on the way to Dwaraka. Actually, it is a fact that we may think, because Bhimasena laughed, doesn't mean that Yudhishthira Maharaj was wrong. The great, great devotees, they have read Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind and they call that this is bhakti. Bhakti means that every time a devotee's anxiety for Krishna, what will happen to Krishna if I don't do this? What will happen to Krishna if I don't make the offering in time? What will happen to Krishna if I don't take the garlands to Krishna in time? What will happen to Krishna if I don't arrange the dress for Krishna properly? This is a devotee's concern, worry. Karmis don't have this problem. It is a devotee's worry. That is what the loving relationship between the devotee and Krishna. Devotee is worrying. Exactly the same way, Yudhishthira Maharaj was worrying in his mind that what will happen to Krishna if I don't send the soldiers and protect him. And exactly when Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking like this, Krishna was thinking, it would be nice if I had some soldiers with me. So the other way also it happens. And this is what bhakti means. Bhakti means that when Krishna was feeling that it would be nice if I had some soldiers to accompany me back to Dwaraka, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking how bad it is for me to send Krishna away on his own without sending soldiers to accompany him. Actually, the soldiers were very happy to go with Krishna. The reason being, the soldiers knew once they get to Dwaraka, they'll get plenty of presents from Krishna. And they were much more than happy to go there, and they actually went along with Krishna all the way to Dwaraka to as just an accompanying soldier. So this is how that travel Bhishma's Tuti and Bhishma's traveling, Krishna's traveling back to Dwaraka started. So that is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam all these things are, all these pastimes of Krishna and with the Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma Dev are so wonderful that when one reads them, one can understand that transcendental relationship with Krishna and the devotees and the Pandavas particularly very significant. I will read that chapter from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sri Sudha Vacham. ఇది వీర ప్రజాద్రోహాన్ సర్వధర్మ వివిల్సయ తదో వినశనం పాగాద్యత్తదేవ్రతోపగన్. తదాదే భ్రాతరస్ సర్వే సదశ్వై స్వర్ణభూషితై అన్వగచ్చందే ఉత్రా వ్యాసా ధౌన్యాదయస్తథా. భగవానపి విప్రర్షే రథేన సదనంజయ సదైర్విరోచనమృగ కుబేరమివ గుహ్యగై. దృష్ట్వా నిబలిదం భూమౌ వివశ్చిరమివావరం ప్రణేము పాండవా భీష్మం సానుగా సహచక్రిణా. తత్ర బ్రహ్మర్షయత్ సర్వే దేవర్షయశ్చ సత్తమ రాజర్షయశ్చ తత్రాసన్ తత్రాసన్ ద్రష్టుం భరతపుంగవం. పర్వత్ దీస్ ఆర్ ద సేజెస్ హూ ఆర్ ప్రెసెంట్ దేర్. పర్వతో నారదో ధౌమ్యో భగవాన్ బాదరాయణ మహదశ్యో భరద్వాజ సశిష్యో రేణుగాసుదాం. వసిష్ఠ ఇంద్ర ప్రమద స్థితో గల సమదోసిల కుక్షివాన్ గౌతమో త్రిశ్చ కౌశిగోథా సుదర్శనాం. అన్యే జమునయో బ్రహ్మన్ బ్రహ్మరాధాదయోమల శిష్యైర్వేదమాజగ్మో కశ్యవాంగిరసాదయాం. తాన్ సమేవాన్ మహాభాగాన్ ఉపలభ్య వసూత్తమ పూజయామాస ధర్మజ్ఞో దేశకాల విభాగవిల్. కృష్ణం జల్పభావజ్ఞ ఆసీనం జగదీశ్వరం ప్రతిష్టం పూజయామాస మాయయో బాత విగ్రహం. పాండుపుత్రానుభాసీనన్ ప్రశ్రయ ప్రేమ సంగాన్ అభ్యాజనిష్టానురాగాస్తై అంధీభూతేన చక్షుషా. అహో కష్టమహో న్యాయం యజ్ఞూయం ధర్మనందన జీవితం మహద క్లిష్టం విప్ర ధర్మ అచ్యుతాశ్రయా. సంస్థితే విరథే పాండవ వృధా బాల ప్రజావదు యుష్మల్కృతే బహూన్ క్లేశాన్ ప్రాప్తో త్వగవదీమహూ. సర్వం కాలకృతం మన్యే భవతాం జయద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివఘనావళీ. ఎత్ర ధర్మసుదో రాజా యదాపానిరుపృదోదర కృష్ణో స్త్రీగాండివం చావం సుహుల్కృష్ణస్తదో విబల్. మహిష్యాగ్రహిజిద్రాజన్ పుమాన్ వేద విదిల్సిదం యజ్ఞిజిజ్ఞాసయా యుక్త ముఖ్యందీ కవయోభి. తస్మాదిదం దైవతంత్రం వ్యవస్యా భరదర్శవ తస్యాను విహితో నాథ నాథాపహి ప్రజాప్రభో. ఏష వై భగవాన్ సాక్షాల్ ఆద్యో నారాయణ పుమాన్ మోహయన్మాయయా లోకం గూఢశ్చరది వృష్ణిషో. అస్యానుభావం భగవాన్ వేదగుహ్యతమం శివ దేవర్షిర్నారద సాక్షాల్ భగవాన్ కపిలో నృపాం. యం మన్యసే మాధులేయం ప్రియం మిత్రం సుహృత్తమం అకరో సజివో దూదం సౌహృదాధారథిం. సర్వాత్మనా సమదృశో అద్వయస్య అనహం కృతే తల్కృతం మదివైషమ్యం నిరవద్యత క్వజిల్. తదాపేకాంత భక్తేషు పశ్యభూపానుగమో ధ్యానపదా చతుర్భుజాః. సూత ఉవాచాం యుధిష్ఠిరస్తదాకర్ణ్య శయానం శరమంజరే అపృచ్ఛద్విదాన్ ధర్మ నిషీణాం జాని శృణుదాం. పురుషస్వభావ విహితాన్ యథావర్ణం యథాశ్రమం వైరాగ్యరాగోపాదిభ్యాం ఆమ్నాదో భయలక్షణాన్. దానధర్మాన్ రాజధర్మాన్ మోక్షధర్మాన్ విభాగశ స్త్రీధర్మాన్ భగవద్ధర్మాన్ సమాసవ్యాసయోగదాః. ధర్మార్థకామ మోక్షాంశ సహోపాయాన్ యథా ముని నానాఖ్యానేతిహాసేషు వర్ణయామాస తత్వవిల్. ధర్మం భవతస్తస్య సకాల ప్రతివర్తిత యో యోగినశ్చాన్ మృత్యో వాంఛితస్తు ఉత్తరాయణాం. తదోవసంహృత్య గిర సహస్రణి విమక్త సంగం మమ ఆదిపురుష మన ఆదిపురుషే కృష్ణే లసల్ పీతపడే చతుర్భుజే పురస్థితే మీలిదృఘ్యదారయల్. విశుద్ధయా ధారణయా హదాశువ తదీక్షైవాశుగదాయుధ శవ నివృత్త సర్వేంద్రియ వృత్తి విభ్రమ సృష్టావజన్యం విసృజం జనార్దనం. శ్రీ భీష్మోవాచాం. ఇది మదిరుపకల్పితృష్ణ భగవతి సాత్వతభుంగవే విభూమి సుసుఖముపగదే క్వచిద్విహర్తం ప్రకృతిముపేయుషయల్భవ ప్రవాహా. త్రిభువనకమనందమాలవర్ణం రవికర గౌరవరంబరం దదానే వవురళగకులావృదానాంశం విజయ సఖే రతిరస్తు మేన వద్యా. విదితురగరజో విదుంబ్ర విశ్వ ప్రజలులశ్రమ వార్యలంకదాసే మమ నిశిరశరేరు విద్యమానం త్వచి విలసల్ కవచేస్తు కృష్ణ ఆత్మా. సపతి సగివజో నిశమ్య మధ్యే నిజపరయోర్బలయో రథం నివేశ్య స్థితవతి పరసైనికాయురశ్నాతవతి పార్థసఖే రజర్మమాస్తు. వ్యవహిత ప్రదనాముఖం నిరీక్ష్య స్వజనవధాల్ధిముఖస్ దోషబుద్ధ్యా కుమతి మహరదాత్మ విద్యయాయ శరణరవి పరమస్య తస్య మేస్తు. సునిగమోపహాయమల్ప్రతిజ్ఞామృతమధిగత్వమవప్లుథో రథస్థ మృతరథ చరణాభ్య చరల్గుర్హరివహన్నుమిమం యదోత్తరీయాం. శిరి విశిగతో నిశీర్ణదం షక్షరజ పరిప్లద ఆదదాయినో మే ప్రసమమపి ససారమధ్వదార్థం సభవదు మే భగవాన్ యదిర్ముకుందాం. విజయనగ కుటుంబమాత్రగోత్రే హృదయ రశ్మిని దక్షయే క్షణీయే భగవతిరతిరస్తు మే ముమూర్షో యమిహ నిరీక్షహదా గదా స్వరూపం. లలిత గది విలాస వైగుహాస ప్రణయ నిరీక్షణ కల్పితోరుమాన కృతమను కృతవత్యమున్మదాంధ ప్రగతిమయన్ కిలయస్య గోపవద్వాహ.
മുനിഗണമ്രഭവര്യസങ്കുലേന്ദ സരസ്വതിധിഷ്ഠിരരാജസൂയമേഷം അർഹണം ഉപവേദമീക്ഷണീയോ മമ ദശി ഗോചരമേഷമാവിരാത്മാഹം തമിമഹമജം ശരീരഭാജം ഹൃദി ഹൃദി ദൃഷ്ടിരമാത്മകൽപ്പിനാനം പ്രതി ദൃശമിവ നൈകദാർക്കമേകം സമധിഗതോസ്മി വിധൂതഭേദമോഹ സൂതവാച കൃഷ്ണ ഏവം ഭഗവതി മനോവാംഗൃഷ്ടിവർത്തി ആത്മന്യാത്മാനമാവേശ്യ സ്വന്തശ്വാസമുപാരമൽ സമ്പദ്യമാനമാജ്ഞായ ഭീഷ്മം ബ്രഹ്മണി നിഷ്കളെ സർവേ ഭൂസ്തേ തുഷ്ണിം വയാം സീവദനാത്തേ തത്ര തന്ധുഭയോ നേതുർദേവമാനവവാദിത ശശംസുസാധോ രാജ്ഞാം ഖാൽപേതു പുഷ്പവൃഷ്ടയാം സത്യനർഹരണാദീനി സംഭരേത ശിവാർഗവ യുധിഷ്ഠിരക്കാരയിത്വ മുഹൂർത്തം ദുഃഖിതോ ഭവൽ തുഷ്ടുവർമ്മയോ ഹൃഷ്ട കൃഷ്ണം തദ്ഗുഹ്യമാമവി തദസ്തേ കൃഷ്ണഹൃദയ സ്വശമാൻ പ്രയോ പുനഃ തദോ യുധിഷ്ഠിരോ ഗത്വാം സഹ കൃഷ്ണോ ഗജാഹ്വയം പിതരം സാന്വയാമാസ ഗാന്ധാരീം ച തപസ്വിനീം പിത്രാചാര്യമതോ രാജ വാസുദേവാനുമോദിത ചകാരരാജ്യം ധർമ്മേണ പിതൃപൈതാമഹം വിഭോ ഈ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ നവമോധ്യായ So that is the Bhishma's prayers, and then the next two chapters is Krishna's travel to Dwaraka, and in Dwaraka later on Krishna enters Dwaraka and the reception for Krishna in Dwaraka. That comes in the next two chapters, which we'll talk about in the next Sunday. So if there's any questions or comments.
Bhishma Pitama, he, you said, he worshipped a four-handed form, Nadarayana form. Now, I'm a bit confused because Prabhupada mentions knowing that your super self is the four-handed form.
Yeah.
But then also somewhere else he's mentioned that you should have Krishna with the flute.
Krishna's, actually, Bhishma Pitama was a yogi. That's the first thing you have to remember. And the yogis worship the Lord as a super soul in the heart. And that is a four-handed form. But Vishnu Vidamaha also knew that this Supreme Lord whom he has meditated on in his life is not different from Krishna. So he had that clear understanding in his mind that Narayana and Krishna are non-different. But when Krishna was in the with the Pandavas, Bhishma was very well aware that whom he is has to fight the battle with. So because of all these realizations, Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to see that form of four-handed form of Krishna before leaving the body, because he was used to meditating on that form of Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna was present there, and it is that Krishna who knew whom he knew in the battlefield as he fought the war with. So, looking at Krishna, Vishnu Pitamaha was remembering these things in his own mind, all the different aspects of Krishna. But what we have to remember, that instruction in the Bhagavatam, it's not coming from Bhishma. The instruction that if you want to die in a particular way, you have to approach Krishna, nobody else. This is, the sages were saying this. Bhishma Pitamaha was not saying anything. We have to understand that Bhishma Pitamaha is of a different category than us. We are ordinary people. For ordinary people, it says there like that, because Bhishma Pitamaha had perfect understanding who is Krishna, who is Narayana. We have no understanding. We are just ordinary people. So the sages were saying that if you want to leave the world in a particular way, in a nice way, in other words, that you have to approach Krishna. Only Krishna, nobody else. And then Krishna will provide you that opportunity to leave this world in the right way. So that is that message from the Bhagavatam. So the four-handed form Bhishma worshipped as a yogi, as on his meditations. That's all.
Same question. Thank you for this question.
Yes. If one has worshipped the Narayana in his lifetime, sometimes it's difficult to move on to Krishna's worship. But Narayana worship is a little different than the Krishna worship. Krishna's speciality is that Krishna is more merciful than Narayana's form. Narayana is He is the Supreme Lord of the Vaikuntha. But Krishna, the loving relationships, what a devotee has Krishna is variegated. It's not, whereas in the relationship with Narayana is only servant and the master, servant relationship. Whereas Bhishma Pitamaha, as you know, that his relationship was different. And all the other relationships, like the Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they had a relationship. And similarly, gopis had a relationship. So all type of people, with all kinds of relationship with Krishna, Krishna is able to fulfill that. Whereas if gopis, just like they say, we don't want to know anything about Narayana, we are off from here. When they went to Vaikuntha, this is what they said. We don't want to do anything with this. We are happy in Vrindavan with Krishna. So that loving relationship between the devotee is in its completeness in Krishna's with Krishna. That's what that message. And that is why it didn't say anything else. Tadastha Krishna Hridaya Sashrama Prayogaman. That gopis were, they were talking to each other that you have to ask Krishna that this is how I want to leave this world. And then that will happen. Now, when that verse, Andhya Narayana Swadhi, it is in the second canto. Why was that spoken there? That also we have to understand. The Sudeva Goswami arrived on the scene to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he arrived on the spot, that Parikshit Maharaj was preparing himself for the death. So at that point, Parikshit Maharaj asked certain questions. And the yogis who were present there were so many other sages. It was not only Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami was there. There was Gautama, Pippalada, Kanva, Atri, Bharadwaja. There were a number of sages who were present there. These sages started discussing each other that what should we do with Parikshit Maharaj? Because after all, he was a king, as an emperor. And for him to prepare for the death, and it's not an ordinary occasion. It's something very, very important. And he was asking this question, what should I do to them? Because they are supposed to be learned people. They have to answer this question. So the discussion started between them. And during that discussion, some of the sages said, maybe we should make Parikshit Maharaj to get some sacrifices performed here. So they were planning for some sacrifices to be done. Somebody else said, no, this is not what's necessary. As usual, there is always difference of opinion everywhere. In there also, in that meeting also. So somebody else said, no, that's not what's necessary. We have to ask Parikshit Maharaj to perform some Ashtanga Yoga system and he should leave the body in that way. So to relieve all their doubt, Sudeva Goswami decided to speak certain things about liberation. And in that context, that is how he spoke about Andhya Narayana Smriti. That Edavat Janma Savalyam, that ultimate perfection of life is Andhya Narayana Smriti. That Narayana also actually refers to Krishna. That is Smriti, only the memory, remembrance of Krishna. But here, it has gone a step further than that. And the sages are saying, when you leave, not Smriti only is enough. We want to see this Lord there, right in front of us. So if you want that to happen, the sages are saying, pray to Krishna now, when it is possible.
Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Gita Jayanti in December. And this day, death is body, Makar Sankranti, in January. So, and you mentioned 58 days. So how does that tell you?
I'm not sure whether he left this on exactly on the Makara Sankranti day. Makara Sankranti day actually Uttarayanam begins. From then on, 6 months is Uttarayanam. It only says what I read in the Mahabharata is that he left the body during Uttarayanam time. He didn't say that he left on the Makara Sankranti day. Yeah. So you can see 58 days from middle of December, it will take you to end of January or some, even early February, which is Uttarayanam time. So we don't know, I don't know what date he has left the world, but he left the body in the Uttarayana period. That's all.
So both Arjuna and Yudhishthira were devoted to Krishna. Why didn't one thing work for the other? Why didn't the same instruction didn't work for Yudhishthira or work for Krishna?
That is what that word meant there, Krishna and Adbhuta Karmana. Krishna had a different plan that Krishna wanted that Yudhishthira should get pacified by Bhishma. If Krishna wanted, he could have done that. But no, he didn't want that. So he asked to be... He had two reasons. One, he wanted to be there in front of Bhishma before he left the body. And he wanted to be there with all the devotees. So he wanted all the Pandavas to be there, all the sages to be there. And in addition to that, he wanted that Yudhishthira Maharaj should hear about this from Bhishma's mouth. What he has done is not against the religious principles, that the war was fought. So Krishna had so many plans working in his mind, and that is why Krishna is said in the Bhagavatam very specifically why it didn't work with Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna in Adbhuta Karmana, Adbhuta Karma, that is Krishna's way of moving people in this world. Every one of us is controlled by Krishna 100%. Although we think we are completely independent, but in reality, every one of us are completely under Krishna's control. So when you realize that, then you can see that every living entity is acting in this world. Although trying to be independent, he has no actually any freedom to act independently.
So how do we know which way
we need to go? Yeah, that we have to we have to get that help from Krishna. That sages have that ability to know. The sages know by their they are known as Andamukha. They are able to look inwards. We have not developed that habit in us. That we have this habit of looking outside for all problems. We want to solve. We'll go anywhere and everywhere to get our problems solved. We won't see inside who is behind it all. So that is why these spiritual instructions are given, that when one develops Krishna consciousness, then most of the problems of this world does not affect that person anymore. That he does not think of them as real problems, because he knows that behind it there is Krishna. So one has developed that ability to consult Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart as a super soul, then he understands that. But that comes from Krishna consciousness. It is like that, I think. Sudarshana chakra is not what we consider as one chakra like that. Sudarshana chakra gets its potency from when Krishna handles it. It becomes a disc in that way. Like before the war, before the Mahabharata war, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Ashwathama came to see Krishna one day. And when Ashwathama came to Dwaraka, Krishna knew why he has come. All the Yadavas who were present there, they could not understand why Dronacharya's son has come. So he spent a few days there in Dwaraka. And one evening, when Krishna was walking in the seashore, Ashwathama went along to see him there. So Ashwathama told Krishna, "I had a specific mission of coming here. I came to see you actually," Ashwathama said. So Krishna said, "What was the reason?" Ashwathama said to Krishna, that, "Can you hand that Sudarshana Chakra to me?" This was his question to Krishna. Krishna said, "This is that person, Ashwathama." He said, this is what he wanted from me, Sudarshana Chakra. So Krishna's answer was that, "You can take it from me, I don't have it. If you can take it, you can take it from me, I have no problem." And he took the disc and threw it to him. It was a small disc, but Ashwathama could not lift it. He couldn't lift it with all his power. He couldn't do it. So Ashwathama gave up at that point and went back. And Krishna said this to the Pandavas, that Ashwathama had done this before the war. He has not mentioned this before. Only when Panjali's children, Draupadi's children were killed, at that point, when they were talking about Ashwathama, Krishna mentioned this to the Pandavas. So what it means is, it's not that a disc, this disc is also known as Kala Chakram. Kala Chakram means the wheel of time. So when Krishna is rotating this, the time is going on in this world, the time moves on. And that is how in the Shastras mentions that the Supreme Lord, how he controls the time. When he stops this disc, stops its movement, at that point the time stops timely. That's how. It's very difficult to understand all these things, because it's such a, in the Vedic literature these things are discussed in a very difficult way to understand, but it's basically it all means that Krishna Sudarshana wheel is where Krishna wants that. It's a wheel that becomes a Sudarshana wheel at any time.
Can you clarify two points on Bhishma Day? There is number one, Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, he refers to that Bhishma Day took the side of Duryodhana for like financial considerations. And the other one was where I saw this Peter Lord film or whatever it was, and Lord Krishna said, don't interfere when Draupadi's being stripped, don't do anything. And can you clarify those two situations? I'm sure.
What I know about Bhishma Pitamaha and Krishna, that relationship before the war, is that Krishna knew very well that in the battle it would be very difficult to kill Bhishma. And also Krishna knew that none of the people like Arjuna or Yudhishthira or Bhima could actually fight with Bhishma. He was very much aware of these things. So he had to devise a plan whereby Bhishma had, but on the other hand, Krishna knew also that Bhishma will hold his word. He was a man whom you could accept his word as truth. What is once spoken, he will hold on to that. He will not accept. So just before the war happened, Krishna told Draupadi that we have to go and make a visit to see Bhishma. So they together went to see Bhishma before the war. And in the war, before they entered into Bhishma's house, Krishna told Draupadi that you should pay your obeisances straight away to Bhishma and ask for this. Then naturally he will have to bless you, because if you pay your obeisances to somebody, you are expected from that person to give his mercy. It's not that I pay my hell out of it to walk away from there. That's not the system. So he paid his obeisances. She told her, you pay your obeisances. And because Draupadi was married and she had husbands, she expected that she will remain as a married woman for the rest of the life. And this is what she expected from him, that as a blessing. So Bhishma had to do that. So Bhishma gave that blessing to her, to Draupadi, before the war. And because that blessing was given, that when this was happening inside Bhishma's palace, when Draupadi went to see her, apparently Krishna was standing outside and praying that everything happens nicely, the way he wanted it. So this is how his plans are, that Krishna arranged in such a way that Draupadi was given this word by Bhishma, that he will always remain as a Sumangali, yes, married woman, if, you know, doesn't become a widow. So he had to uphold that, and therefore he had no chance of killing any of the Pandavas. By that Krishna has taken away that thing from him, that capacity to kill the Pandavas. But I don't know more than that, because in Mahabharata there is quite a lot to read. So many things interconnected to each other. And unless one has to take more time to read through and understand the whole thing.
Why did Krishna have to be on the bed of 58 days?
Yeah. Because after the war lasted about 18 days. And it was on the 10th day Bhishma fell. And then after the war was over, Duryodhana and Bhimsena, they fought each other, and then they went back. Duryodhana fell down and then Pandavas went back. After they went back, there was a discussion that, as I mentioned in the last time, that Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into this depression with his mind. So it was Krishna's desire that Bhishma Pitamaha must stay to clear out Yudhishthira's problem, number one. Number two, Bhishma Pitamaha wanted that Krishna should come to him before he leaves this world. Number three, Bhishma also wanted that the Uttarayanam period should begin, which was, as we were discussing, in the middle of January or so. So for these different reasons, Bhishma Pitamaha decided to stay rather than leave the world straight away. And that is what the cause of that. So many things which we don't even know why it has happened, but all we know is that behind everything there is Krishna.
What's Uttarayanam?
Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam is the Gadi and Vigadi. In other words, it is a movement of the sun towards the north and towards the south. Like at this moment now, we are in the Uttarayanam period. In other words, middle of January it starts, in the Sankramam day it starts. That means from the south side, the sun starts moving towards the north, and after 6 months it goes down towards the south. So the reason why these times are significant, Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam, in the Bhagavad Gita also you will find that mentioned, Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. Krishna says, when one wants to leave the body, one should leave in the Uttarayanam time. The Uttarayanam time, what actually happens is that these 6 months, what we have here, is one day in the celestial planets, heavenly planets. It's just one day there. Our 6 months is one day for them. So our 15 days, you know, we have the moon waxing and waning of the moon. The 15 days, the moon, in 1 month, the moon comes to the whole cycle, isn't it? In 1 month, it comes to the whole cycle. So these 15 days, what we have here, is one day in the Pitraloka, that is in the lower planetary system, right? So it's 6 months in the higher planet, 6 months of our time is one day in the higher planetary system. It is 15 days of is one day in the Pitraloka, in the lower planetary system. When the soul leaves the body from our present condition, ordinary people like us, all of us have to go through different planets before it takes its final destination. So it goes into the lower planetary system first, and where it is, first we get our ghostly body, in other words, subtle body we get from there. And the subtle body is the decision taken whether we should go further down or we should go up in the sky. That decision is made there, in that Kvetaloka, it's called. From there, we go into the Pitraloka, where the forefathers planet or Pitradevadas are there. So you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, Agni, Jyoti, Ahas, Shuklam. Shanmasa Uttarayanam. This Uttarayanam time, when it is bright, when it is fire burns, Agni Jyoti Ahas, daytime, if one leaves the body, he will go into the higher planets. In other words, at that time, if a soul who was able to leave the body, not that everybody, it's those who had been Krishna conscious, in other words devotees, they get an opportunity that as soon as they go into the lower planets, although we also have to go there, but immediately the decision is taken that he can go back into the higher planets. And it is better that if we get there during the daytime rather than the night time. So a soul's travel after leaving the body is a very, very complex subject. It is in the third canto, Kardava Prajavati, Kavila Vasudev discussing with Devahuti Devi. And then you will notice, if you read through, you will understand that how sophisticated all these subtle aspects of life is, which we have no clue otherwise. Those who take it that everything is finished with death, it's okay, fine, then there's nothing to worry about. But for those who are concerned, accept the science of the soul and the movement of the soul, it's all very graphically explained in there that this is how it happens. So Uttarayanam period is particularly auspicious for a person who has been trying to go back into the higher worlds. Although he may not get to the spiritual world, he gets an opportunity to go into the celestial planets or to a Tavalogam, Janalogam, Mahalogam, places like that, which are all above the... They are all subtle worlds. They are not gross worlds like this earth. The earthly planet is a gross world. Those planets are subtle worlds, where they present there in subtle form. For instance, they can accept and change their bodies at different conditions. And by birth itself, they have the knowledge of the creation and the Vedic knowledge is there in them. And like that. So, but whereas in the Dakshinayanam time, the opposite way, it goes, the chances are that it goes through, the soul travels into the Pitraloka, and even after Pitraloka, if the record is not very good, then the destination is going to be further down there, and that is what is known as the Yamaloka. Yamaloka is supposed to be, that is why in the third canto it is mentioned like this. Yamaloka is that planet which is down south. As you go further south and south, it doesn't mean that it finishes in this planet, it goes further down in the universe. So it is that time of Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam.
But it has not 6 months,
it has
to start in January.
Yeah, to middle of
June. Okay. July.
No, not yeah. Yeah, something like that, yes. Yeah.
Somebody says in India, they said to me, I want to kill you, they'll say, I'll send you Sanatarasan, they'll kill you like this.
Yeah. Kulana?
I was telling him many times, Srila Prabhupada explained, when he was receiving the body, and he remembered Krishna in the last moment, so immediately he is transferred, immediately he is transferred into the spiritual
realm. Yeah, that is right. Because, that's absolutely correct, because if a devotee is able to think about Krishna, this is the question. We will all can say, if he thinks, the statement is very simple, But that to happen in life is also very difficult. That what will happen at the time of death is something which one has to very critically think about it. Because at the time when we leave this body, the senses, the condition of the body, sometimes could be very, very difficult. It's beyond our we have no control on that. We are just thinking all the time. And as you think more and more, all this ability to remember, oh, I have read in the Bhagavad Gita like this, now I'm going to do that, may not happen, because we haven't got that strength of mind at that time. We know very well, even when we get sick, how much strong we are. So to such an extent, our mind is controlled by the external forces. So it is like this, that at the time of death, when you cannot even remember many, many things, what you have read and what you have practiced, only by Krishna's grace that we will get that strength. And Krishna himself present there to remind us that I am here to take you out from here. And it is Krishna who does it rather than we doing it.
Yes, Prabhupada explained many times that Lord Chaitanya, even if you don't remember, Lord Chaitanya will force himself in our heart. If somebody is devoted. Prabhupada explained also that 50 years, if you only chant Hare Krishna for 50 years, it's more than sufficient. Only chanting Hare Krishna is more than sufficient to become a perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But some of us like me, 50 years also still thinking, where are we? So what can we do?
when Krishna was coming to Bhishma with a weapon, and Bhishma said, Vasudev Jai
Jai.
Yeah. Now, I don't understand. You know, when he said Vasudev Jai Jai, but the thing is that he forced Krishna to take up the weapon.
Right.
And so how can...
So in reality, actually, Bhishma has won, isn't it?
Yeah.
In reality, Bhishma has won.
Yeah.
But the conclusion is like this, that actually Krishna has won. Why? Krishna's commitment is like this, that my words may not come true. I may give some promise, I may not keep it. That's what Krishna says. But my devotee's words will always come true. And Krishna wanted to prove that point. That's why it is Krishna's commitment was that my devotee Bhishma has said that he will make me to take the weapon. He will force me to take the weapon. And I have done that just to uphold your word. So, in other words, what Bhishma is saying is that by you taking the weapon, you actually kept your word. In other words, you kept that your devotee's word will always be honored. In other words, it's only trying to say that Krishna considers his devotee as so important for him compared to any other jnani or a yogi or anybody else. A devotee, provided you are such a devotee, that's also there, that a devotee like Bhishma. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just thinking that when a person dies, he goes to Petalok first. Mm-hmm. Then people like us, or they might go a little bit higher or lower, whatever. Actually, going to selective planets could be very dangerous, because you start enjoying them. By the time you come down here, you can't progress on. You will be more terrible place to come back to.
Yeah, celestial planets doesn't mean only the heavenly planets. Celestial planets also mean there are so many planets. Like, if you look at the creation, you find Kinnas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, and all the other devatas which are mentioned, the Indras people, devas, they all are different planets. And each of these planets, all these planets are not simply sense gratification also. There is an opportunity to go further from there, because while accepting a body in any of these planets, it is not a bad thing in some sense that one gets an opportunity also to go to the higher planetary systems further from there. Because like the great sages, they live above than that. Tapolokam, Maharlokam, Janalokam. And above all than that is the Brahmalokam, Lord Brahma's planet Satyalokam. So all these planets one can move into from there, from those planets. Still it is a better situation than in this earthly planet in that way. So that's the reason why it's said like that. But the process is the same, that we leave this body and then we get a decision is made about us at that point in time. In the sense that the heavenly planets, blissful nature is in them. But at the same time, all the koshas, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, annamayam, all these five koshas are present in our body. So this human body is complete in many ways, that it can understand the material miseries more than the occupants of the heavenly planet. The occupants of the heavenly planet are not as disturbed as we are here, that they get an opportunity when they come here, they would like to take birth in this world for this reason, that when they get the birth here, they get an opportunity to, you have an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world state from here, if you are fortunate enough.
Realize material misery.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
Just one thing is, I think Madhukani is not here, but you know, she quotes Srila Prabhupada quite a lot. When you were saying Krishna has to do what the pure devotee sort of says he's going to do, and it's like Srila Prabhupada has told us in certain things, in certain respects, if you do this, you'll go back. And it's just that that bit is, you know, because he's like the pure devotee for us.
Yes. Prabhupada is also speaking all these things on the strength of the previous Acharya's instructions. Huh? So this is not everything that has come from experience. This is knowledge which has been, which Prabhupada has taken from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and the previous Acharyas. So the science is like this, that you approach Krishna in this way and Krishna will provide that opportunity. That's the science behind it. And when Prabhupada said that if you chant Hare Krishna 50 years, you are expected that after 50 years you attain a certain degree of success in the chanting. But if 50 years I have chanted doing all other activities in my mind, there is not much of a chance of becoming perfect in chanting. Because certain perfection is necessary even chanting the mantra. Any mantra, ultimately, unless it is perfected, that mantra is going to be will deliver its full results when it is perfected in chanting. Like Haridas Thakur's case, we were discussing that Haridas Thakur chanted the holy name, but after some time the chanting has become so perfect in his chanting that 192 rounds was no problem for him, but unlike us who are with 16 rounds struggling in this world. So that's the difference between the devotee who has chanted the holy name properly and with perfect realization. And sometimes we wonder that after many times devotees say that, oh, I have chanted for so many years but it's not working or it's not having an impact on me. But that's not true, because there is certain this rajogunam and tamogunam inside of a person's body. That's what is causing actually the whole problems. So this rajogunam goes away when one chants carefully and with a fully focused mind. So it's not possible to say. Some people it may take a little longer, some people it may take a little less. But that's a relative thing. But the theory is like this, that by chanting process one purifies oneself. And when one is purified, automatically Krishna is there to help him. If anywhere failure happens, it is only due to two or three reasons. One reason, lack of sincerity in the effort, lack of faith or sincerity, you can call it. Secondly, lack of purity inside. Purity is not something that will come from externally. Purity has to come from within. Third thing, above all than that, lack of austerity is in life. That not able to take to austere life. And these are things which purifies a person. Austerity purifies a person. And when one is purified, one can see things clearer. And all what he does also becomes more effective.
Along with the chanting, other religions, they say only chanting holy name is enough for us. But for us, along with the chanting, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, how it will help us? In which way?
The reading and chanting, all this is actually building up Krishna consciousness. That's the whole point behind it. What is actually chanting? Chanting means, just like, you know, a mother, when a mother is very attached to the child, what does the mother do? All the time calling him by his name, isn't it? The mother gets a special attachment and happiness and pleasure from that. So when a devotee has developed that attachment for Krishna, he will automatically chant. You don't have to tell him, so you have to chant 16 rounds today. Here is the beads bag. No, it's not necessary. Without beads bag also he will chant. So that is the difference. So we don't reach that stage, but till we reach that stage, we have to do all these things. The beads bag, chanting 16 rounds, all the other formalities are necessary. But till that bhavam, what it is called as bhava, like the Goswamis were chanting. They were not counting all the time, how many have I done my 16. No, they didn't have to do that. Why? Because they had that realization from chanting, or they were enjoying that chanting to such an extent. So basically all this is Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting process, this is all helping the person to become Krishna conscious. I think we'll stop here. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. There's a meeting. There's a meeting here, Peter.
Pardon?
Yes, Kariva Virodha. There's a meeting here today, I think 7:45 or something.
Yeah. That's intentional.
You said a couple of weeks ago that there's a failure for balance, sincerity, lack of purity, lack of austerity. That can be applied to any pursuit, really. Whether you're going towards a goal, whether you're going to, say, a practice in the real world. Now, is it possible that these three different viewpoints are the same thing, that you're having different desires for something other than the goal?
If you've got any child,
aren't these things, are these three different viewpoints of the same one thing, which is that you are desiring something other than the goal?
We shouldn't have all these things. This is from our side. But from Krishna's side also there is a every effort will not become successful unless it is granted by
Krishna.
That you have to understand. The Bhagavatam is very clearly says there that if you put any effort in this world, and that depends on our sincerity to large extent. That if my prarabdha karma is not coming on the way, number two, if I am so sincere that Krishna could not resist from giving me that, so it's a combination of various things. It's not purely these things. That you may think that I am so sincere in my effort, why it's not working.
No, I'm just
always on the right. But it is